Chapter number 3, book of Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read to the end of the chapter this morning where we have been for the last little while in regard to Paul's personal life. We even preached out of here on Sunday night last week on focusing on one thing. In chapter 13, or chapter 3 and verse 13, he says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." What does he mean by that? God had called Paul to a life of service. He called Paul to a life of following Christ. He had apprehended him. He had arrested, if you will, the Apostle Paul. Gotten a hold of him real good. Gave him that old time, what we call old time salvation. It changed Paul's life and put him on a path of service. And Paul wanted to continually pursue the call of God on his life. And every one of us, if we were to evaluate where we are in our Christian life, I hope none of us in here would be satisfied with that. Every one of us needs to have a holy dissatisfaction with our own progress in the sense that we want to strive to know more about the Lord. We want to strive to do more for Christ. I mean, even if it's just, you know, where the Lord gets a little more of you. Maybe it's an extra dollar in the offering plate that you don't feel like you can put in. Maybe God helps you put that single dollar or that 25-cent piece in the offering plate to help you kind of give you a little bit of an encouragement that, yeah, I'm going to just trust the Lord for this thing. Every one of us ought to be striving for that. Maybe you are just scared to death to hand out a gospel tract. Take a gospel tract the next time you fill up with gas, and when you put the nozzle back into the pump, fold it up long ways like this and slide it into the handle. Now, if the wind's real big, the wind will blow it. And, of course, the Bible says in John 3, the wind bloweth where it listeth, so it might blow the tract into somebody's pathway who needs to hear it. But at the same time, when somebody goes to take that nozzle out of the pump and put it into their vehicle, they're going to have to touch and come in contact with that tract. And so if you're scared to death to hand out a tract, do that. Leave them places. I mean, leave them in your booth at McDonald's whenever you get up and leave. Do that. Wherever you may be. I mean, you could even go into Walmart. I shouldn't say this because I'm going to be on the internet. Go into Walmart. Maybe go back to that alcohol section. Maybe drop one in there or something. You know, I've known people who have done that before, not calling any names. But I know folks who've done that, exactly right. And now, you want to be responsible, you want to be careful, you know, don't do anything that would harm anybody's property. Of course, I know that all the folks in here are good, sound-minded adults. Nobody would do that. But we need to have a holy dissatisfaction and try to be striving to where we're going, striving for the work that God's called us to. Paul said this, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." And Albert Barnes said this, "A Christian will accomplish nothing who has not a single great aim and purpose of soul." Every one of us in here needs to understand who we are. I said it last week. Brother, you're not a truck driver. You don't work down at home. I mean, you're not a guy who makes Honda vehicles. Brother Bob, you're not just a valet and, you know, and workman. Brother, you don't just drive a truck for a living. That's not who you are. Brother Brian, same thing, brother. You're not one of these fellows who kind of manages and oversees a team and those type of things where you're at. All those things are well and good because you've got to provide for your family. First and foremost, you're children of God. You're Christians. If you're saved, you're a child of God. That is the very first thing you need to understand. And God has given you that job to be able to supply the needs of your family and supply the work of the ministry. And so I appreciate what you said this morning, brother, about your work simply because I know a lot of folks, their work is their God. Their work is their God. If they had a choice of coming to church or a choice of working an overtime shift on Sunday, some folks are working overtime shift on Sunday because they'll say, well, the Lord's blessed me with a job. He's blessed us with jobs, but not to the point to where He wants us to choose the job over Him. But I know a lot of professing Christians, they'll choose the job over Jesus. It's awful sad. But everybody, every one of us ought to have this one thing that we do. We ought to focus on the Lord. We ought to focus on Him. Now, I know when you're driving your truck, focus between, you know, the lines or the lane that you're running in. You've got to focus on that immediately. But your focus in life has got to be that what you are doing is to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus. And that's what Paul wanted. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, and every one of us, if we're running a race, If you're running a race, you turn around behind you, what's going to happen? It's going to break your stride. You may trip and fall. And you may very well run outside of your lane, if it will, and be disqualified from the race. It could always happen. Every one of us, that could happen. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says in 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing toward that finish line. He's staying in his lane. He's pressing toward that finish line. It's not right for me to go to somewhere. I mean, right now, at this point in my life, God has not called me to be a pastor in Tennessee or Georgia or Kentucky or Wyoming for that matter, or to be a missionary overseas. God's will for my life is to be here. I'm to run in this lane. But if I step outside of my lane and try to run somewhere else, I'm not going to run the race that God's called me to do. I've got to focus on what I've been called to do. And you and I have got to have the mentality that where God has called us to be, that's where we're supposed to be. That's where the work, the area we're supposed to work in. So in that, Paul's pressing toward that mark. Jesus is at the finish line. Now, when it says that he wants to win Christ in verse number 8, you know, do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He's not talking about winning a prize in the sense of being able to earn his salvation. What he's talking about, when he runs across that finish line, the judge at the end of that finish line who makes sure that you've run the race the correct way is Jesus. He's the one who gives the crowns, and he's the one who has either the smile on his face, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or he's got the frown on his face that you had disappointed him in the life that he'd given you and the ministry he'd given you to use for the Lord. Let me just say this. When I say ministry, I'm not just talking about preachers. Every one of you men in here has got a ministry. Don't let anybody say you don't have a ministry. Brother Allen, Brother Brian, y'all got kids at home. Every one of you has a ministry. You have a ministry. You are, well, can't pastor a preacher. They can't pastor. You better pastor your family. You're the Brother Brian, Brother Allen, you're the pastor of your family. I don't give a flying rip what any preacher out there says. You're the pastor of your family. You're the overseer of your wife and your children. You're responsible for their spiritual well-being. Brother Bill, same thing. You still have a boy at home. Somebody says, well, he's 20 years old, 21 years old. Don't make no difference. He eats your food, sleeps in your bed, wears your clothes. I know he works, but he's still under your roof. You still are the overseer in that house and your children. You still have that responsibility. Brother Michael, it's done now. It's over. It's right. Then we got grandparents here. Got grandparents who are now taking the responsibility of trying to help bring up their grandchildren, trying to help teach them the things of God. That's a wonderful thing. And I can say the same thing about Brother Bob back there. You still got some at home there that need to be helped. And I know Brother Paul's back there where I can't see him, but I know he's back there. I know he's smiling right now, even though I can't see him. Got that big smile on his face. That's exactly right. Can't see you, brother, but I know you're back there. And I know that he's got responsibilities as far as, you know, grandchildren and things like that are concerned. So every one of us has got those responsibilities. And so what God has called you and I to do, he has called us to run the race that is set before us. Every one of us is to be the Christian we're supposed to be for our family, the Christian we're supposed to be in the workplace, the Christian we're supposed to be here in the church house. Now look at verse 15, where we're going to start this morning. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now, let me just kind of take a few minutes to kind of unpack what he's saying right here. Anytime you see the word therefore in the Bible, it always does good to look what came before it to see why the therefore is therefore, as one Bible teacher put it. Now, we've already been through this. Paul's given his life, his spiritual resume, his willingness to part with everything in his past life for the knowledge of Christ. And he says, because of that, I'm running this race, I want to know Christ, I want to give the Lord everything that I have, I've already done that, I want to attain unto what God has called me for, I want to fully know him, I want to fully complete the work that God's given me to do, to run the race God's given me. Now, verse 15 says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Now, perfect here, first of all, let me do this. He said, let us. One of the things I like about the Apostle Paul, he doesn't say you necessarily all the time. There are times when preachers say, you need to do this, you need to do that. Paul, that's part of the pastor's job, preacher's job, and Paul even does that. But there are times when Paul will say, let us. Paul didn't leave himself out of this. You and I, every one of us needs to be striving. It's not good for me to say, church, you need to strive, and I just sit back and eat Twinkies and drink Coca-Cola and don't try to discipline my body and don't try to strive for what God's called me to do. That's just plain hypocritical. We're not supposed to do those type of things. Paul said, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Now, what does that word perfect mean? It means mature. It does not mean that you are perfect in the sense of sinless perfection. You're not doing it. If you are perfect, you're mature. Now, what does it mean by that? Let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Have this same mind. Now, remember he said in chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wanted us to have the mind of Christ to set aside our wants and submit to the will of God in service. Same thing here. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Every one of us ought to think in terms that our lives are lives that are to be used in the ministry of the Lord everywhere we go. And Paul says this, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. Only those who are mature in the faith are going to follow what Paul said. Only those who are mature in the faith are going to follow what Paul said. So what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean this. Every one of us who's heard what Paul said, your Christian maturity can be gauged by your obedience to the Word of God. Everybody, if you stop for a minute and think, I know that I need to be doing this, 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 and this, what do we do about that? I was talking with Caleb last night. We were talking a little bit about his lesson. It was, I don't know, it was probably 11:30, heading toward the bed, getting to bed very late. And we talked a little bit after coming from meeting. We went down to Georgia this past week for meeting. I'll maybe say a little bit more about that later. And we talked about some of the things we'd heard in the meeting. But it's amazing. Independent Baptists, those of us, and I can say that because I are one, here's what we're really good at. We're really good about coming to church. We're really good about saying amen to the preacher. And we're also really good about not acting on what we know is right. That's what many of us are very good at. And I heard a preacher say this. How many times have we sat in a church service, we heard the preacher, we said amen to it, and we walked out the door without the single intention, and maybe even an intention not to do what he said to do, even though we said amen to it. And the old mountain preacher said this, oftentimes we amen our own condemnation. Now that's a mouthful. Those folks who are mature, who are perfect, are going to follow what the Lord said. And I'll just say this, if those who are perfect be thus minded, you've got the ministry that God's called you to, the race that you're running for Christ, that you've been called into a race. If you keep that in mind, Paul said that you're a perfect person. You are a mature person. Now what's the opposite of what follows? If a person is not following after Christ, not pursuing what God's called them for, how would Paul describe them? Not mature, but immature. If every one of us were to have to take a spiritual maturity test, where would we fit on the scale? Would we be babes in Christ? Would we be little children? Would we be young men? Would we be fathers like 1 John says? Where would we fit on there? Where would we fit? Something to think about. But here, someone says, preacher, I just don't know where I'm at. Look here in verse 15. Let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And here's the last part. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. If you want to hear the truth of God as to whether you are a mature believer or an immature believer, if you're not minded to be in obedience to what we've read that the Apostle Paul said we're to be in obedience to, Paul says this, and this is grace, if you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. God will open your mind up and say, John, you're not right. There's an area in your life that you need to fix, and this is where you need to get if you want to go on with God, if you want to go on with me. And God will put every one of us, if we will allow Him to, He will put something in our lives, He'll put His finger on something to let us know where we need to be. God can do that. And I'm thankful that God does that, Brother Brian. Here's why I'm thankful. That means God's not done with me yet. When I don't hear from God in a church service for a long time, I get nervous. I get real nervous. And I'll tell you why. Because all God has to do is just this. Well, preacher, read the Word. I know, read the Word of God. And I do read it. But you know as well as I do, there are times when you read it, it just seems like the heavens are silent. God does not speak, even though you're reading what He says. And that's the only time what you can do is you can just go by faith. And when God is silent, you don't hear the voice of God, you read the Word of God, there's a promise, I'm going to latch on to it. And if God doesn't fulfill it, that's His problem. I'm going to latch on to it just the same, just anyway. Amen. So, if you and I don't have our minds focused on Christ, focused on the race that we're running, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, verse 16, whereto we have already attained. Not everybody's in the same place in the race as others. Some of us are further behind, more mature believers who are out there. And yet at the same time, those of us who've been saved for any length of time can look behind us and still see that there are folks who are behind us. Now, I know we're not supposed to turn around and look behind us, but just for sake of illustration, there are younger believers behind us. There are babes in Christ. I better know more than my boys do. And I don't want to be ugly. I'm not being ugly because we may have some great Bible students in here. I ought to know more than anybody else in this congregation based on the amount of time I've got to study. Otherwise, something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with my work ethic. So you can say amen. It's all right. But when I go to meetings like I went to last week and I see Stennett Ballou's and Sammy Allen's and James Jones's and other preachers out there who have been in the way for a long time, and I see their maturity and I see their preaching and I see their hunger for God even in their 60s and 70s, you know what it does to me? It says, buddy, you're reaching forth, you've got your own race to run, but you've got some good examples out there to follow. Well, preacher, we're not supposed to watch people. Look at verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. You ought to put your eyes on Christ, first of all. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Look to Him. But if there is another believer, a Christian who is walking in the way of God, you and I would do well to obey what Paul said and find somebody we can pattern our lives after on this earth in the manner of love for Christ, love for the Word of God, the way we treat other people. I'll never forget, I was actually preaching at a church in Tennessee. Church didn't have a pastor. This has been about 4 or 5 years ago. And I had gone there and preached Sunday morning, and it was 1 hour and 10 minutes back to the house. Something like that, hour and 10 minutes, maybe 1 and a quarter back to the house. And I called a preacher friend of mine, Brother Donnie Harvey. Some of y'all remember him from last Jubilee. I called him up and said, hey, would you think Brother Jones, James Jones, who also preached at Jubilee, do you think he would mind if I came by the fellowship hall and, you know, just kind of camped out there for the day because we're preaching over here in Oakdale? You know, it's 20 minutes away from there. It'll save us a drive home. No, I'll call him and ask him. So Brother Harvey called, took care of things, went by, let us in. So we sat there. Well, they go on visitation on Sunday afternoon. They'll spend a couple hours out visiting. And so I talked to Brother Jones for a minute. And I'm standing outside getting ready to go in, getting my computer, go back in, do some stuff on the getting ready for, you know, looking over some scriptures for Sunday night. And I looked up, and Brother Jones, he doesn't have his coat on, but he's got his shirt tie on, he's got his dress pants, got his dress shoes on. This man is he's about 70 years old. You know what he's doing? He's running up the road. Running up the road. Running. And I watched, and I looked up here, about 25, 30 yards, there was a couple who was walking on the side of the road. He ran, got their attention, gave them a gospel tract, told them that Christ loved them, and invited them to church. Most of us are running the opposite direction, so we won't have to give a tract to somebody. Is that not right? Is that not the way human nature generally is? Most of us. Ain't nobody smiling at me, so we almost be guilty, I guess. I wonder if that's the case. But stop and think about that. Here was a man, and when I saw that, nobody was really there to watch. I mean, I just happened to be there at the right time. My family was there. Brother Harvey was there. You know why Brother Jones did that? Because that's who he is. God has put him in a race and told him to run his race, and part of running his race was running after those people. I said all that to say this. I've got examples that I look at, preachers that I know that I can take some help and take some instruction from. Every one of us in this building ought to have the same thing. We ought to have somebody in our lives, you ladies. The Bible says in Titus 2 that the older women are to teach the younger women. Do you feel qualified to be able to teach the younger women as far as their walk with the Lord? How to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, that the Word of God be not blasphemed, what it says in there. Do you feel like you have the ability, and God's given you some things that are worth passing on to that next generation? Well, I'm sure there are many of you in here, you've got some things you could probably pass on. The whole point is this, every one of us ought to have somebody that we are following so that we can help lead someone who's following us behind us. Every one of us ought to have that. We ought to. So, Paul is telling us that if we, in verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. He's telling us that no, not everybody's at the same point spiritually, but we can all continue to do what we know to do. Do what's right. Not walk by the same rule, mind the same thing. And then Paul comes down here in verse number 18, and Paul says this, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, who's in His destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. There are some folks who walk as enemies of the gospel, enemies of the cross. They're not friends of the cross, they're enemies of the cross. How do they walk? Well, they obviously aren't pursuing the things of God. They're not pursuing the glory of Christ. They're not pursuing the approval of Christ. They're enemies of the cross. And notice what Paul says. He told them often, and he tells them weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Folks who don't follow the Lord really and truly burden the Apostle Paul, burden him awfully bad. What's so sad is that the way Paul is talking is that these are people that he's poured forth some effort into to get them to come to Christ. And because of their choice, they walk the opposite direction. How sad that is. Their enemy is the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Every enemy of the gospel is going to be destroyed. Every one of them. All of them will be. We think about the Adolf Hitlers, the Joseph Stalins, the Benito Mussolinis. We think of those men. We think of the Idi Amins. We think of those men. We think of those great enemies of the cross of Christ. Every one of those have been destroyed. And finally, will be cast into the lake of fire, as far as our testimony is concerned. Who says this? Whose God is their belly? They're only concerned about feeding themselves. They're not concerned about the glory of Christ. They're concerned about the glory of their own God, the belly. That's a way of saying that everything they do is to put themselves into a position to receive what it takes to make them comfortable. The only reason they preach, if they were to preach, is because they want to satisfy their flesh. The only reason that they do what they do is to satisfy their flesh. It could very well be that Paul may be talking about folks who are in the Jewish religion, who knew the right way, who understood the way of Christ, and yet they rejected it. And in doing so, their God wasn't the God of the Bible, the Old Testament. Their God was the God of their belly, whose glory is in their shame. They don't glorify themselves in holiness. They glorify themselves in the things that God says are shameful things to do, sinful things to do. And not only do they, it's not like they do it in hide, they glory in those things. They glory in the liberty that God has given them, even though we're not talking about liberty. They talk about license. Who mind earthly things? Now what's so sad is this. When I think of somebody who minds earthly things, I think of somebody really who's, at what we say, so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. That's kind of what I think of. The problem is, minding earthly things goes along with someone who's going to be destroyed by God because their God is their belly, because the things that they do, their sinful life, their shameful life, they glory in their license to sin. They're enemies of the cross. They're enemies of the cross. Did you understand? You know there are enemies of the cross, right? You know that, don't you? They're enemies of the cross. The new religious freedom bill that was passed here the other day, the enemies of the cross don't like that. They don't like it. Now, people don't understand what that thing's about. I've only read a little bit of it. I don't understand what it's about. It's simply saying that you don't want to, if you are in a particular business and you don't want to serve a certain clientele because it goes against your religious convictions, then you are allowed to opt out of that. Used to, people had a sign out in the front of their restaurant that says, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. You can have, well, apparently you could have that up, but you still couldn't do that. I still remember when I was younger, my family ran off some people like that years ago. Ran off a couple of men because they were acting in a lewd manner. Run them off. Well, thank God. But those folks who say, well, you need to be more tolerant and all those type of things, they're enemies of the cross. They're enemies of the cross. There are folks who do not like what we stand for. And Paul's reaction, his attitude toward them was weeping and to warn. So he warned and he wept. What we're going to look at this next week is we're going to come back and look at finish up chapter 3 and then move into chapter 4 and finish that up if we can. So let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the Word here. Father, thank You for the Word this morning. I pray that You'd take it. I pray that You'd use it. I pray that You'd help us to mind the same thing, to walk according to the same rule that You set down for us, that we'd press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Father, if there's anyone in here this morning who's not running the race as they ought to run, my prayer is that You would reveal it unto them and let them see that they're not running as they ought and that there's more that they could do to give their lives to the Lord in service. And Lord, glorify Yourself to do that, I pray. In Jesus' name we do thank You and bless You, Lord. Amen.